Blog Talk Radio.
From the San Francisco Bay Area, it's time for Live from the Bay with Joey. Stay tuned.
What's up, everybody? How you doing? This is Joey. We're going to have a great show tonight. So I'll tell you what's going to happen. Actually, we're going to play a show that I was actually a guest on probably about a week and a half ago on Greater Good Ministries Radio. And I was on the program with Nancy Murdoch. And the show was entitled Mystics Demystified. Jammin, are you there?
Hi, Joey. How you doing?
I'm doing good. So, you know, I was telling people, we're going to be playing that show that I did with Nancy Murdoch a while ago, and we're going to replay it on our right here on our show. And it's a really interesting, really was an interesting show. I'll tell you more about it as we progress, but you know, I really wanted to kind of start ranting today. So I'm thinking that it's time for Joey to crank it up.
We're just gonna crank it up, crank it up.
So Jammin, let me ask you, did you hear about the story? Now, it's been a while, but did you hear about the story? This middle school girls forced to ask classmates for a lesbian kiss.
Heard something about that a while back. I don't remember how long ago that was, but I did hear about that. Yes.
So basically, in an anti-bullying presentation at a middle school in New York that focused on homosexuality and gender identity, this has really angered all the parents in the area because the parents weren't even told that this was going to happen. So basically, what their daughters were supposed to do was they were forced to ask another girl in this type of workshop for a kiss. So according to the reports, this happened at Linden Avenue Middle School in Red Hook, New York. And so it was a workshop and it was separated by gender. So I guess during the workshop, 13 and 14 year old girls were asked to ask one another for a lesbian kiss. And they were also taught words such as pansexual and genderqueer. So, I guess quite a few parents were very uncomfortable with it. And I guess one of the little girls, went back to her mom and said, you know, this was bad, and I'm really uncomfortable with it. It's bad enough that we get teased. Now I'm going to be called a lesbian because I had to ask another girl if I could kiss her. So I guess the parents in the area, according to the story, were absolutely irate. Now, I can totally understand that because, you know, even outside of it being, let's take it outside of this lesbian kiss, even if they were to do it with you know, a girl and a guy, it still makes people feel uncomfortable, kids. And then on top of it, it makes parents feel uncomfortable because it's almost forcing the child. It's not, you know, of course, a kiss is not like having full-blown sex, but it's forcing a child to do something that they may not want to do, or perhaps it goes against their beliefs. And, you know, I don't want to get into a religious discussion, but it may just get into it touches on areas that maybe we don't want to touch on, right?
Absolutely. You know, the school's responsibility is to educate and
right.
teach. It's the parents are the ones who are responsible for all these other issues, and it seems
right.
like the schools are taking that on, and they should not be. That is not their responsibility. You know, moral values and all this other, all the other things are to come from the parents at home.
Right, right. That's absolutely true. And, you know, what I found really interesting, it says in the story that the principal and district superintendent are defending the workshops and they're advising that they will schedule more. So apparently the superintendent, he told one of the local journals that the presentation was focused on improving culture, relationships, communication, and self-perceptions. What do you think about that?
Okay, what does that mean?
Well,
you know,
what do you mean by
self-perception?
Well,
are they trying to tell them what their self-perceptions are supposed to be, or allow them to figure out their self-perceptions on their own under the supervision of their parents? I mean, what are they doing here? You know?
Yeah. I have no idea, but it's kind of bizarre if you ask me. And so I was reading the article. The thing that really bothered me about this article most certainly, and this was Stand Up for the Truth. That's where it was taken from. But at the end of it gets you so riled up, right? And it gets you so because you're right there and you're saying, you know, if I were put in a position like that as a parent, I would have a fit. Now, it has nothing to do with a homosexuality thing or heterosexuality thing. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with going back to what you said. You know, the schools are there for one purpose, really. And when you start going outside those boundaries, then you're going to start creating chaos. What really bothered me at the end of this article was it said, obviously the parents are – this didn't bother me. I understood this. Parents remain livid over the matter. Okay, I understand that. The last sentence bothered me. It is not known whether girls actually had to kiss one another or if the exercise stopped at the request. Well, gee whiz, I mean, you get me all riled up in this. It's still even whether or not they were just asked to do this in an exercise, it's wrong in my opinion. Okay? It's wrong in my opinion. And I hope we don't hear more stories like this, because this is it's disturbing. It's like, okay, we're going to have an exercise now, and we're going to have the guys, the boys, make some nasty comment to the girls, or we're going to have them, get sexual with the girls, or say something that's sexual, or misleading, or lead them on, or do the. I mean, come on. I mean, really, that's creating really a bad scenario. And parents
Absolutely.
Should be pissed off. And that's what I would say the word is, pissed off. Because it's just not right.
I wonder if there was any female teachers that were also participating at the same time, and having to do their part. There with the students at the same time. I'm wondering if there was any other teachers that were, how comfortable they would feel if they were asked to do this as well.
That's a good point. I didn't see in here. All it said was the parents. You know, this bothered me. See, the parents were given no warning about the presentations, nor an opportunity for their children to opt out.
And that is supposed to be there. You have the right to say no
right.
for your child to participate in any event at school.
Right. 13 and 14-year-olds, I mean, come on. I mean, that's really not a good thing. And then another story that was kind of bothersome to me was this came out of Seattle. So apparently this woman, who is a total whack job, decides to go into the hospital. She puts on nurse's uniform and starts going into patients' rooms and trying to mess around with their medication. So this happened at Swedish Medical Center, I guess, in Seattle on April 13th. And so she was seen in a patient's room manipulating the patient's administered pain medication. And then the patient questioned the woman, who then left. And then they saw her, cutting off some medication for a dripping line. They, I guess she entered a room where this patient had their family around them. They were present as well. And I guess she started acting like she was checking the medication, but then she left when the alarm went off. So anyway, and I guess she, in the story, I don't know if she cut the line or something. It wasn't really clear to me. But,
did they catch her?
No, I don't think so. But they've got her.
Wow.
They've got, or they had her on, well, at the time of this recording that we're doing it, they haven't caught her. They haven't caught her yet. But the surveillance video from the hospital has her, you know, has her picture there quite clear. So, you know, I'm hoping that by the time we air this show, that they would have caught her. Because what do you think about that?
Oh man, that is crazy. I wonder, you know, what was going through her mind, you know, thinking that she's a doctor. I don't know. She dressed up as a nurse. And,
yeah, a nurse, right?
You know, what is she, an angel? She thinks she's an angel or something, an angel of death? Or
well,
what?
A demonic angel, because obviously she's going in and she's doing things that are destructive to patients.
Man.
You know, yeah, I mean, it's really bad. And, you know, really, I know, having worked hospitals and having gone in there, you know, they're generally really aware of what's going on. It's really alarming. It's really, really alarming. I hope we don't hear more stories like that. Scary.
Absolutely. That seems to be my word of the night, absolutely. Whenever you say my name, I'll just say absolutely. There you go.
Okay, should I just change it from jamming to absolutely? Or why
absolutely
don't you just
jamming.
Go by absolutely jamming? And then when you're playing, you're playing the bass, there's jamming. Absolutely. You like that?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
You can't say that. Are you crazy?
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, absolutely. What's that other word that a lot of people use? And I find myself using it too. If I use that word tonight, I will say that's the word. There is a word that everybody uses.
There's been so many words. There's been
amazing.
Totally,
amazing.
Totally. I've heard nice a lot lately. You'd be talking to someone about something and they'll go,
nice.
Or sweet, you know.
Yeah, sweet. Yeah, those are good words. Nice, sweet, amazing. But, you know, it's the way people say those words, right?
It's the way they're said. Absolutely. There we go.
There you go. Amazing. So it's either like, wow, that was amazing, or amazing, you know. Oh, you know, that candy was really sweet, wouldn't you say? Or somebody saying to you, sweet.
Hey, I was just talking with another musician friend today, you know, just catching up on things, and he has a full-time lesson studio, has all kinds of different students in there, from guitar to drums to bass, and and all learning music. And he was just talking about how busy he is and what's going on. And, you know, I found myself just using the word nice today about three or four times in talking with him after I left. And went, well, I guess that's another word of the day, you know, nice and absolutely.
And now, how are you using the word nice?
How did it sound? I could say nice, or, you know, like, sweet or nice, you know, like that, you know. I didn't really have a lot of other way to say it because it's such a short word, you know, one syllable, so you can't really say it a whole bunch of different ways.
Well, okay, so here's the thing. So if you're being sarcastic about something or you're being offensive to somebody.
Oh, boy.
No, I mean, say, for instance, you said something offensive to me, like, you know, Joey, your shoes suck. I don't like the color of your shoes. I could look at you and just go, nice. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's a nice way of telling somebody, you know what, up your nose with rubber hose. And then there's another way to say nice, like, that was nice. You see, it's just the manner in which we say things. Our inflection.
Okay, now that gets me to another subject. I don't know where you want to go on this pre-show here, but have you ever noticed that now with the social media and, like, say, emails and texting, that people are having whole, complete conversations, they're having arguments, they're having deep conversations and discussions and telling people off and all this just with sterile email and texting. So you want to talk about, you know, you can read a statement there that's in your text message and totally interpret it any way you want because you don't know what tone they said it with. And so I'm actually getting to the point where, you know, I don't really want to do that anymore. You know, I have to admit, I've caught myself doing it, you know, in the past, and I'm just like, wow, that did not turn out well. They totally misunderstood where I was coming
well, you know
from.
That. I mean, even in some of our emails, the thing is, what happens is, for instance, I got an email today from somebody that was actually, and I think I talked to you about this, they were kind of sarcastic, but in their email, what really blew my mind or was offensive to me was the fact that they capitalized everything. Well,
oh, yeah.
So you know what, though? I didn't know until about 3 years ago that if you capitalize everything in an email or a text, you're screaming at somebody. That's the equivalent of screaming at somebody. So I used to send emails out all the time that they were totally capitalized, everything. Everything was capitalized. And so these friends of mine were like, will you stop screaming at me? And I'm like, are you insane? So I sent back a message and I said, something must be wrong because I am here typing. I am not screaming. So I don't know what you're hearing, but they may be voices, but I'm not screaming. And they sent me back a message and said, Joey, you are screaming. When you capitalize all your words in an email, you're screaming. Well, so anyway, lesson to be learned. But
I
now,
have one thing to say about that. Let me tell you what I have to say.
What do you have to say?
Who do you think you are?
Well, I don't know who I think I am, but you know the funny thing is, I've learned my lesson. I have learned my lesson, and I no longer do that. I mean, I just don't do that. So when I got that today, it was really kind of disturbing. But you're right. A lot of times, people do that. I think within the last couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, I've had at least 3 or 4, misunderstandings with people, even family, over text messages and over emails, because of, like you said, you know, we can't see a person face to face. So we don't know how they're trying to relay that message, right? We don't know if it's kind of sarcastic or if they're joking around or they're serious. So it's left to the interpretation. So that's a good point.
And there's another thing, too. You know, some people think out loud. Okay, so when I'm having a conversation with certain people, and I won't mention names, but certain people I talk with, I know that's the way they process. No, I'm not talking about you.
Okay. I'm just wondering if I'm thinking out loud, like when I'm talking to somebody.
Well, when you're rambling, yes.
When I'm rambling.
But so this person will, I know this person does that. So what I do in our conversations, I let them go on for 5, 10, 15 minutes without saying a whole lot because I understand they're thinking out loud. They're getting all these thoughts and all these things out. Some of them are so off the wall and weird, you just want to say, are you crazy?
But, are you crazy?
you can't say that. So anyway.
You like my voices, don't you? Come on, tell the truth.
Are those your voices? I didn't even
know
that.
You know they're my voices. And for the audience that doesn't know, all those are my voices that I have done. But Jammin' here actually went into a studio and we recorded them. So they're like little different voices I do. So go ahead.
Man, all this time I didn't even know that. I thought that
You didn't know
that. I thought
that
when you went into the sound booth, you actually pulled somebody else into the room.
Oh, yeah, right.
So anyway, that's just, you know, I'm rambling now. But it's just one of those things where, you know, there's all kinds of things that go into communication. And it seems like email and text, you know, we have these little characters that mean things and little symbols. And like you say, all caps means you're screaming. But, you know, you just don't have an opportunity to express all that you're feeling in such either a text or an email. And so I just try to stay away from real serious ones.
Right.
Or if I do say something serious, just make it real simple and to the point without you know, going on and on and on. Because when you go on and on and on, that's where there gets to be a lot of misunderstandings.
Yeah. I don't want you to keep on going on and on and on and on. But, no, I did want to tell you, if you ever – have you ever heard – we were talking about words. Have you ever heard anybody or has anybody ever said to you, hey, boss, have you ever heard that?
Oh, yeah, I've heard that one. Not so much recently, but, yeah, I've heard that, yeah.
Yeah. So, interesting. And for many people, hey, boss, it's nothing offensive. It's like, hey, friend, hey, what's up, man, you know? But in one culture, it is not good at all. And in fact, if they say that to you, they're like, hey, boss, it is a bad, bad, bad word. So, and I'm not going to, because I don't like cussing, but it's, I'm going to give people a description of what it's like. When people say, don't sit on your butt, there's another word for butt, right, that people utilize that starts with an A. So let's just say that it's worse and it's in the same family as that A word. So when I first heard this, I'm like, that is unbelievable. Then I started thinking about it, and I'm like, hey, wait a minute. Did that person call me, hey, boss? And they were part of that culture? That must have meant, you know, and I was like, man, I can't believe it. But it is, you just never know what people mean, you know, nowadays. And when they're texting and emailing, you just have to be careful, you know. You really do. So thank you so much for bringing that up.
You're welcome.
Yeah, and then this last one, let me ask you, Jamin, do you drink soda?
Some, not a
whole
lot.
How often do you drink it?
Oh, probably, well, let's see, I had a Pepsi today. Other than that, I usually don't drink, maybe a couple times a week, maybe.
Okay, so this came out in Vitals. Listen to this. And this was taken from a study. Just one daily soda can raise diabetes risk, study finds. Let me read this to you. This is My Health News Daily. The author is Rachel Rettner. Drinking just one 12-ounce soda a day may increase the risk of type 2 diabetes, a new study from Europe suggests. Now, remember, there's type 1 and type 2.
Mm-hmm.
Type 1, they're both not good to have, but type 1 generally, type 1 is the diabetes that is treated with insulin shots, right?
Yeah.
With insulin. Type 2 can be treated with diet or medication.
Yes, that's diabetes type 2, yes.
Then it goes on to say, in the study, people who drank a 12-ounce sugar-sweetened soda daily were 18% more likely to develop type 2 diabetes over a 16-year period compared with those that did not consume soda. And people who drank two sodas daily were 18% more likely to have a stroke than those who drank one. Those who drank three sodas daily saw the same risk increase compared with those who drank two, and so on. The results held even after researchers took into account risk factors for type 2, such as age, physical activity levels, BMI, and total daily calorie intake. The findings agree with earlier studies in the U.S., which found daily soda consumption increased the risk of type 2 diabetes by 25%. However, the study found only an association and cannot prove soda consumption causes type 2 diabetes. It's possible other factors not accounted for by the study influence or disease risk. In addition, participants answered questions about their diet just once at the study start, as it's possible they changed their diets over time. The researcher said, yeah, well, now that's a problem, because you should always, in studies, they generally, you know, continue asking things about change over a period, you know, even like if you're seeing a patient the next week or a couple of weeks out. The researchers analyzed information from about 12,000 people who developed type 2 diabetes between 1991 and 2007, and randomly selected group of about 15,000 people, most of whom did not develop diabetes. All participants were taking part in a larger study looking into the interaction between diet and environmental factors and a risk of cancer and chronic disease conducted in 8 European countries. People who drank one or more glasses of sugar-sweetened soda a day were about 30% more likely to develop type 2 diabetes than those who drank less than one glass a month. That's pretty dramatic. So
yeah, and we're
one
talking
or more
about
glasses of
sugar, right?
Sugar-sweetened soda a day were 30% more likely to develop type 2 than those who just drank one a month. Because the link between sugar-sweetened soda and type 2 was independent of BMI, which is body mass index, an indicator of obesity level, and calorie intake, this finding suggests that other factors such as spike in blood sugar people experience when they drink soda may play a role in the risk, researchers said. Now, interestingly, people who drank diet soda were also at increased risk for developing type 2 diabetes during the study compared with those who drank no soda. However, when the researchers took into account participants' BMI and total energy intake, the increased risk disappeared. The findings suggest that the link between diet soda and diabetes risk was driven by participants' weight. People who are obese and thus already at risk for type 2 diabetes tend to report higher consumption of diet drinks. So it says healthy, this is the ending of it, so healthy food choices such as eating plenty of fruits and vegetables, daily exercise, and weight loss can help prevent type 2 diabetes or slow the progress of the disease in those with prediabetes, according to the Mayo Clinic. So that's kind of pretty interesting info.
You didn't use the E word, did you?
The E word?
The E word. Exercise. That is the E word.
Oh, the E
word.
You
mean people got to get off the couch and get off their, what's that word that begins with an A that you talked about earlier?
Yeah, their booty, yeah.
They have to get up and get
moving. That starts
with
an A, doesn't it?
You mean people actually, it does. I guess it does. A booty?
yeah, right. They have to get off their butt. Yep.
Yep. Oh, man.
Which includes you and I and everybody else, right?
Well, yep, that is absolutely true. Maybe we should do a show or an episode on exercise. You know,
well, maybe we should. I think somebody, actually, a good friend of mine who happens to be a certified nurse practitioner in another state, who I want to send out a shout to, Deborah Rieg. Actually, her and I were both in training with AstraZeneca Pharmaceuticals in 2006 in the hospital care division, critical care division. And Deborah was, she's always been a nurse, but she's a certified nurse practitioner now that got out of the pharmaceutical industry and went into doing something that she absolutely loves, and that's in treating patients. And so anyway, where am I going with this? She had told me, Joey, why don't you do a show on healthy eating, you know? And I think that that would be awesome. And she even mentioned, you know, having some experts in that. And you had suggested somebody that we may eventually have on, but it will be a good thing if we talk about stuff like that, because it's so important.
Yeah, and we'd have to look at who would be good to have on at the same time, because the person you mentioned that I know is a naturopathic doctor,
right?
And I have received some amazing help.
What's the word
person.
Again?
The A word.
You just used it. Come on, man, wake up! You just used it. I told you that everybody seems to be using this word, and you just used it. Amazing.
Absolutely.
So go ahead.
That'd be really good to have a show on where we get some views from the naturopathic medicine along with I don't know if it'd be good to have a medical doctor as well, or I don't know how that would work. But, you know, I think, you know, it'd be interesting to see, because I received just some amazing benefit. And
that word, amazing. Yep.
That's the A word of the day?
Well, there's a couple of A words. That's a good A word. Okay. I don't use the bad A word. So, onward and forward with our show. I want to talk to you. I want to tell you about the show that we are going to present this evening.
Okay.
So, about a week and a half ago, I had the opportunity to go in and on Nancy Murdoch's show. She has a show on Blog Talk Radio. It's under Greater Good Ministries Radio, and she did a show on, and it was entitled Mystics Demystified. And what it had to do with was, sometimes you've heard me use this word, whereas I will classify myself as a Christian mystic, or operating in supernatural gifting. So she wanted to do a show about that and what that looks like and what that means. So it was really interesting because, you know, I was able to share a lot of scripture about it. I was able to talk about it. I was also able to explain how it is not, again, how it is not psychic. Again, how it is not psychic. Because I think sometimes people misunderstand that people that work in supernatural gifting, especially in prophetic type of gifts, or words of knowledge, or anything like that, that must be something psychic. So, and you know, I don't want to get into a big religious discussion. That's not my point. But in this show, we talk about that, and it was really, really interesting. We had a lot of people call in, and we were able to talk with them. I was able to share with them, pray with them, and actually worked in that gift, and it was pretty amazing what actually happened. So we'll have a chance to hear that. What do you think about that?
Oh, that's really good. You know, I was just, as you were mentioning the title, Mystics Demystified, I'm thinking mystics. Wow, that word is a loaded word.
It is.
And it can be taken many different ways. I'm going to have to ask Joey here, what does that mean? How does he see, you know, why does the word mystic go with Joey? And I'm like, and I think you explained it. And I just looked up here online, mystic, it's a noun, a person who seeks by contemplation and self-surrender to obtain unity with or absorption into the deity or the absolute.
Yep.
It goes on from there. So, I mean, that's probably a pretty good way to define it, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. But I will say this. When you think in whatever place you're at in your path, so whether you call yourself a Christian, a Jew, a Muslim, a Hindu, a Wiccan, a pagan, I mean, whatever your path is, I'm not calling one out. I'm just saying, let's just think in that spiritual sense, or Buddhist, or whatever. When you're talking about things that are unknown, those things are mysterious. Yeah. In my path and how I live my life, God is mysterious. There are certain things about the essence and the purpose and the very nature of whom I serve is mysterious. Certain things are not to be known, and certain things stay a mystery. And that's part of respecting that deity. And so in my very nature of who I am and how, you know, God uses people in different ways, but it translates itself many times out into the supernatural. But what the show was about was the fact that God works in a way supernaturally, most in a natural sense. And what I mean by that is there's nothing oogie boogie about it. There's nothing scary about it. And it's not to even induce that, because it has nothing to do with that. Because God is the essence of love, and fear is really not of God. You know, that spirit of fear is not of God. So when we're able to understand that God works in supernatural ways, but very naturally, then it opens ourselves up to just a whole new realm of what God may have for somebody's life. So it was really interesting. It was a great show. We're going to have the opportunity, Jamin, by your engineering and audio sound producing skills to go to that show right now. Is there anything else that you might want to add to this, sir?
No, I'm really looking forward to hearing the whole interview and myself. So I'm really looking forward to hearing that, and maybe we should just go right into it. What do you think?
Yeah, and I think we, and you know, before we do that, I know, you know, I already talked to Nancy about bringing her on our show here, and she's an artist. She's really a great artist. She's also somebody that really works well with people, and she blesses people. And what I mean by that is, you know, there's an art to that, you know. People that encourage other people, people that stand alongside of other people, there's something special about that type of gifting. And it's not necessarily a supernatural gift, but it is a gift. And people that do that, it's amazing. She's got a lot of great things, qualities, and her artistic works are many, and we'll have an opportunity to bring her on and talk to her. But like you said, without further ado, here is the show that I had the honor, and I just, you know, I say that in total humility. I mean, it was an honor to be on there. But Mystics Demystified. Okay, here we go.
Hey, everyone. This is Nancy Murdoch, your host of Mastering the Art of Joyfulness, and I am broadcasting live from just outside of Detroit, Michigan. And today I have a guest on my show all the way from San Francisco, California. So we're kind of doing a coast-to-coast show tonight. And my guest is Joey. Joey has his own radio show. He's the host of Live from the Bay with Joey. And he is a Christian mystic, and we are going to be talking about mystics and seers and psychics and what's the difference between them all. And Joey is also a musician, and I've listened to some of his music. He's a musician and an entertainer and a songwriter, and he does some really good stuff. So I encourage everybody to have a listen to his stuff, and you can look at it on my show page. Welcome, Joey. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you?
I am good. How is San Francisco?
Well, you know, I'm in the Bay Area. I'm not right in the city, but I'm located pretty close. And, you know, we've been having really kind of warm weather, so it kind of feels like the summer. So that's really kind of a nice thing. So we're blessed in that way. We've had some really kind of weird weather. Sometimes it's really, really cold, and you feel like, oh, my gosh, this is like wintertime. And then sometimes it's like really warm, and you feel like it's summer. So we're kind of like right in the summer right now.
Well, you're lucky, because we had summer 2 days ago for one day, and then the storms came in and blew all the internet and the power out, and then it just dropped down to winter again tonight. So hopefully it'll warm up again.
Wow.
And we have a mix of warm and cold.
Yeah.
Go area.
Yeah.
So I'd like to know about mystics and psychics and seers, and I think a lot of our listeners would like to know what is really the difference between them. But before we answer some of these questions, I'd really like to dive deep and ask you personally, how did you discover that you were a mystic, and how early, and what's the story that goes along with that? Because I, you know what, I even love the word mystic. It has mystery all written over it.
Right. Well, you know, to be quite honest with you, I don't go around calling myself a mystic. I just think that the way that I operate many times and talk to people and what I believe in is kind of mysterious. And, you know, really, that's really kind of what God is all about when you think about it. There's certain things and aspects of God that are really mysterious. So in that sense, that's probably the mysterious side of me, but it's not really mysterious. It's not oogie boogie. It's not something creepy. It's not something that, you know, freaks people out and you're like, oh my God, because right, let me cut to the chase. If it's anything like that, that's really not of God. You know, if what I believe in is truly of the light, then, you know, those things, if what I believe is of the light, then I believe in what Scripture says in my own life. I can just say that, okay? And Scripture says that, you know, that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So that's what I kind of focus in on. And your question about when this happened is a really great question, because there are things that I believe are part of that history. And one being that my grandmother was very, very, and she raised me, was very intuitive, a very strong Christian woman, but she could see things. So she knew things. I remember being in grammar school, and I was the only one in our area that also spoke Spanish in where I grew up that spoke Spanish fluently, because I learned it from the time I was a child. We had an exchange student from Mexico, and at that time, I don't know, I must have probably been in about fifth grade, and I remember that's probably my first experience of smoking cigarettes, you know? And you got to imagine.
Fifth grade.
I know. Well, let me explain. So we had this exchange student from Mexico, and he was a few years older, and he was a cool guy to hang around with, right? And I was the only kid that spoke Spanish, so of course I become popular. This kid comes from Mexico. Everybody wants to hang around with him. The girls want to hang around with him. So then, you know, then all of a sudden I'm hanging out with him, and now we have more girls hanging out with us, you know, and it's a big thing. It's kind of like a cool thing. Well, I remember coming home from school, and my grandmother would always be at the kitchen table reading her Bible, and she would have her glasses on, and she was a very strong woman, very short, a little bit heavy set, and very wise. And so I remember coming into the house and passing up her in the kitchen and saying, "Hi, Grandma." And so I started walking like towards the hallway, towards my room, and she's like, "Not so quick." And I'm like, "What's wrong?" And she goes, "You need to tell me something." And I said, "Yes." And you got to understand, the school was probably all of about 3 or 4 blocks away. She would have never walked or could have walked that far, and she had a cane. And she said, "Who was that boy that you were hanging around with at school?" And I said, "Well, who are you talking about? I have many friends." She says, "The one that speaks Spanish that's from Mexico."
Ooh.
And I said, "Oh, he's just a friend of mine." And she said, "And why were you smoking?" So she saw that, and she knew things, and she would see things, and that was just the norm, you know. So let me answer this. I think part of that can be passed down through families. But as I became older, well, even at that age, I remember there were times. Now, this was before caller ID, because I'm in my early 50s, so you could imagine. I used to answer the telephone many times, knowing who was on the other end. So instead of saying hello, I would say, "Hi, Auntie Mary," or "Hi, so-and-so," and they would kind of freak out because I could feel that. And this was before caller ID, so we're talking 40-some-odd years ago. And, you know, so that was kind of an interesting thing. I think as I progressed in my belief system and in what I believe is my walk as a Christian, that became amplified. And I believe that there's something really strong about this, that it's used to help people out. It's never used to tell people bad things. It's never used to embarrass people. It's never used to glorify myself. I never use any props. And what I mean by props is I don't use tarot cards. I don't use any occultic type of practices. The other day, actually yesterday, I was doing a show, and the gentleman had asked me that was hosting it what the difference is, kind of like what you're asking me. And then I told him specifically that I don't use those kind of things. And he said, well, you know what? I've heard of Christian psychics that do. I said, yeah, I've heard of that too. But, you know, I don't do that. I'm not coming against people that do that. But that is not where I'm at or where I know that I'm supposed to go with this gift, because that's not where it leads. There's nowhere in my teaching, nowhere in that gift does it say to utilize that type of thing. I think that's in a whole different realm. I don't work with spirit guides, so I only work with the Holy Spirit. I only work with God's Spirit, so I don't have other spirits floating around giving me information or anything like that, nor do I believe in that. Do I believe that people can possess that? Absolutely. But I don't think we're in the same boat. I'm not saying that they're better, that they're worse. I'm not saying that they're demonized or anything like that. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that it's two totally different things. So that's all I can tell you. I get impressions and I get sensations. And sometimes, Nancy, I don't quite always understand what I'm seeing. Okay.
So I wanted to ask you about that too. You've said seeing a couple times, like your grandmother saw things.
Right.
So what does that mean? She saw? Did she have a vision in her head? And first of all, before we go there, just for any of the skeptics that might be out there, how do we know that she didn't get that information from other parents from the school about your smoking and your Mexican friend? How do we know that?
Right. Well, because my grandmother didn't speak English, so except for saying hello, goodbye. She wouldn't understand what somebody said. And there was nobody at school, really, outside of myself, that could speak, you know, that. Where we were smoking, that wouldn't have been in the visual area of any people that were from the school that would be like, say, teachers or principals or any of those type of superintendent, you know, any of those type of people. They wouldn't have been able to see us, right? Granted, you know, you smoke a cigarette, you know, there's tobacco smell, but that had occurred before. But for her to see the other boy and know where we were, I would say that would have been pretty much impossible. Plus, I know my grandmother, and I know what she had seen all my life. I mean, when her brother passed away, and he was very sick, and he was in a town that was about 3 hours away from where we lived, nobody told her that he was in a retirement home, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And then we got the call. My grandmother was very ill at that time, and he had passed on. And let me kind of go backwards here. I remember her saying that day, before this happened to him, that she had seen him walk through the house. He was 3 hours away from us.
So she saw him walk through the house where she was living, and had he died? Not died at this point.
He had not died yet.
Oh, okay.
And you got to understand, my grandmother and my grandfather were from Spain, and the area of Spain that they were from was from the coast, and it was from the southern coast. Now, what you'll notice in countries like that, generally speaking, where it's coastal, a lot of people will have more kind of superstitious or mystical ideas. You go to the northwest corner of Spain, which is Celtic, very similar to Ireland or Scotland or Wales or what have you. They have a lot of people that are very superstitious, and they have a lot of tales and this and that, and that's part of their culture. Anytime you're by a bed of water. So where she was from was an area that was very much surrounded by water, but it was in the south. So these would have been lands that would have been conquered by the Arabs and the Muslims, and, you know, that at one point, because remember, Spain was under Moorish rule for 700 or 800 years. So it's kind of interesting. Although her family was very Roman Catholic, nonetheless, a lot of times in countries like that, you can be very Roman Catholic and still be very superstitious about things or have some kind of belief systems that don't always coincide with the church. So I was just saying that she did things that were kind of, or said things that were kind of out there sometimes, but I knew that I wasn't to cross her, and I knew that she had a sense of things. So I don't know if that answers your question or not.
Yeah. And I'm also curious, do you think that it's passed down, that these gifts are passed down from within the family?
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, I said that earlier. I think so. I think in the Bible it even talks about it. So I think even as curses are passed down. So I think you have to be careful with that. And I think that there are things that are passed down through family and to people and et cetera. Yeah, and I, you know, and a lot of times I will get senses of things. If I sense something bad or sense something and somebody's going through, a lot of times I will call them and they'll say, oh my gosh, that's weird. You know, I'm going through a really hard time, or I'm going through. So I think I'm an empath, you know. I think, here's my thought. I think that the word intuition is good. I hate the word psychic. I don't like it. So when somebody says to me, you have psychic abilities, I'm like, no, I do not. And I want to be very clear of that. But I think that from time immemorial, we always had, there were senses, you know. There was an additional sense. I mean, we have our five senses, plus there was an additional sense that people had that they had to have for survival. And over the course of years, we have dropped that off because it's too weird. There are people, though, that still operate in that gift, or in that they can pick things up and sense things. And I'm one of those people. But on top of that, when I'm talking many times, I will see, you asked about the pictures. A vision could pop up. I could be praying for somebody and seeing something, and I'll see something, and I don't quite understand what it is, but the person understands. Or I may say something. You know this thing with what happened in Boston?
Yes.
Recently. Very sad story. When I first prayed about it, I had seen what appeared as angels, like walking, or an angel walking through that town angry because of what had transpired, and rightfully so. I was talking to a buddy of mine, and he said, yeah, he said, I think it's somebody that's American. And I remember saying, you know what, I think there's a couple of people involved, and I don't think that they're American. That's my sense. I said, I think we're going to be surprised whom they are. That's what I sense. I also sensed, I said, I hope it's not somebody that's involved in any type of, I was even thinking, you know, it could have been aligned with North Korea or something like that. Well, sure enough, I get, you know, this morning I woke up and I see these pictures of these guys. They were from, I guess it's an area outside of Russia. And it's very sad what actually transpired. And, you know, I guess the part of Russia that they were from, or it was once part of Russia, I don't know how the whole story, but it was under, the majority of them were Muslims. Now, does that mean that every Muslim believes that? Of course not. It's like saying every Christian bombs abortion clinics or is a radical, or, you know, any religion, when you have fanatics, there are things that fanatics believe that other people do not necessarily believe. It's a very sad thing. But what I'm getting at is I could sense impressions. I could see, I didn't see faces, but I could sense things. Not just with that, with anything. I mean, I think anybody that walks in that arena can sense those kind of things. Does that answer your...
Yeah, it absolutely does. You know, I'm staying at my parents in Michigan right now, and their neighbor died, I think it was maybe a year ago, right at the house right door. And just looking out the kitchen window, I could see the house, and you know what? I can sense her there. I didn't even know. I don't think I ever even saw her before, but I can feel her whole energy. That house is filled. It's like it's an expanded, it's not like she's just...
Right,
just
it's an extension, right.
She's
right.
Taking up the whole space. I haven't told anybody that, but I can really feel that because her presence is in every room of that house now. Yeah, in a way, it's just a little bit eerie, but, you know, not really. It's just the house is still, shall I say, alive with her spirit there. It really is. And so I think some things we just can't really explain. You know, it's that sense of kind of knowing, and people may say, well, you know, you're crazy. You can't prove any of that. Well, you know, some things we just can't prove yet. That's why it's a mystery still. And I wanted to actually talk to you about, before we get too much farther, if we could maybe clarify some of these words with perhaps a little bit of definition or something. So you're a Christian mystic. That would mean there must be other kinds of mystics. We have psychics, we have seers, we have visionaries, and we mm-hmm. have all the clairs, the clairvoyance, the clairaudient, the clairsentient. So maybe just we could briefly just give a little bit of an explanation or your point of view, your opinion of what's the difference between all of these?
Well, I can only clarify what I believe and what I believe that I walk in, okay? So if you do believe in the Bible, and if you understand that and what, you know, what the Bible talks about, there are gifts, spiritual gifts. And if you look in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, to paraphrase it, do you mind if I read this real quick and then it'll give you a little better idea?
I'd love to. Go ahead.
Okay. So it says, and starts with verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts but the same Spirit. Okay, so right now, there's a big difference right there. Did you hear what I just said? So there are different kinds of gifts but the same Spirit. So it's singular, meaning one Spirit, right? It didn't say but the same spirits. It said the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another the gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another miraculous powers. To another prophecy. To another distinguishing between spirits. Okay, now there we go. Distinguishing between spirits, plural, right?
Mm-hmm.
To another speaking in different kinds of tongues. And yet to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. So in my belief system, like I had said when we first started, there's the way I believe, it's God, and I work through God and his Spirit, and it's one. It's not many spirits. It's not I'm getting my information from other spirits or guides or anything like that. That's the difference. And it's never to freak people out. It's not to curse people. It's not to any of that, because that just creates fear, and that creates, and I would never ever say to anybody, thus saith the Lord, this is what God is saying to you today. No. You know, it works in a very natural way, without fear.
So how is a mystic then different from a psychic or a seer or a visionary?
Right. Well, I think mystic, you can be a Christian mystic, like, because I speak of mysteries, right? Because God is mysterious, and I walk in that way, and I can walk in the gift of being a seer, somebody that can sense things or see things or has visions of things and talking. We'll maybe be talking to somebody, and then all of a sudden they'll get an impression. So I get impressions by either seeing. Sometimes I'll get an impression by hearing something or smelling something. I don't quite understand what it is. And then I will relay that over, and then the person will understand what I'm talking about. But many times I don't know what I'm saying. It's not clear to me because I'm talking to them, but I'm not really, I'm just trying to relay what I'm seeing. And so, in other words, it's not like a prophetic, it is a form of a prophetic gift, but it's not like a prophetic word that's coming forth and saying, this is, you know, like from God, and God says blah, 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 like this. What I'm sensing are, I can pick up these certain things, and I'm speaking it forth, then I don't quite understand, I'm not that clear. But the person will understand. Does that make sense, or am I talking out there? I hope I'm clear.
So it's like a message. You have an impression that
Correct.
You pass to a person, and it's really a message that means nothing to you,
Correct.
But it will mean something to the individual that you're expressing it to.
Correct. So I don't quite always understand, but then it makes sense to that individual, if that makes sense. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it does.
It doesn't necessarily make sense to me, but it makes sense to them. So that's how that works. And
say then that these are all kind of the same thing, seers, psychics, visionaries. I'm getting the sense that you're not thinking they're the same.
No, I don't think that they're the same thing. So if you're right, if do I sense that a psychic is the same as somebody that speaks, that has a gift of prophecy, or that speaks or is a seer? No, I don't. Because if I'm talking to you and you tell me you're a psychic and you're getting your information from some kind of spirit that is not God's spirit, something else, then no, it is not the same.
And, you know, that's a really good point, because energy is all over. I mean, we can pick up all kinds of energy,
right,
and where is that energy coming from? So
right,
the physical negative energy is not a God energy. It really
Absolutely. Say that again.
The fear energy is not a God energy.
Right. So back to Scripture, what we talked about earlier is God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Yeah.
So if it doesn't operate in that area, it's not of God. And you know what? You could even – go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
There's a lot of psychics that base it on fear. I mean, they give you lots of – I don't want to say warnings, but this bad thing is going to happen to you, and, you know, this is going to – you know, they can get you very depressed.
You're absolutely right, and you know what? Stuff like that you stay away from, because it's based on negativity. It's not light. It's not God's light and power and love. It's a lot of other stuff that doesn't. There was a gentleman that I saw on television, and he's from a country, and he was speaking, and he was talking, and he apparently is a psychic, and he's from a Latin country. From the minute I saw him and his countenance, I knew he was bad news. I could just feel it. It was dark all over him. And I remember the person interviewing him saying, you know, they said, you are a consultant for a lot of famous people. He said, yes, I am. And he said, in fact, a lot of stars come to me, et cetera. He says, and those people that do not heed what I say, they end up regretting it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I thought to myself, wow, you know, I will definitely make sure that I never, ever come knocking at your door.
Wow.
Ever in my life, because you're full of negative energy. And this guy was basically making people fearful. And he said, now, make no mistake, I charge a lot of money. But if you want to find out what's going to happen, then it's going to cost you. And if you do not heed my call, then you're going to regret it. And I thought to myself, you know what? You're bad news. I don't want anything. I don't want any part of you. I want to stay as far as I can away from you, which meant to me, I'm turning the TV off. I'm not going to even waste my time watching this garbage.
No.
And I think we have to be careful what we take in. I have friends that claim that they're even Christians that will watch terrible movies on TV, scary movies, movies that are just creepy, evil movies and stuff like that, and they think it's okay. I do not think it's okay. And I'll tell you why, because I think when you're intaking that into your very being, it creates something that we were talking about earlier. It creates negativity. It creates fear. It creates all this crap that is not what we want in our space. And unless you understand that, then, you know, you have to really understand what that means, because you don't want that stuff surrounding you. It's really bad. So I try to clear myself away from all that kind of stuff. So back again to your original question, I don't think everything is the same. I think that you can have things that kind of look similar, but they're not necessarily the same thing. Nor do they necessarily taste the same either, you know?
Mm-hmm. And there's also, when we talk about spiritual gifts, they come with responsibility. We'll talk about the spiritual gifts first. Do you think that everybody has them? I personally feel that everybody has spiritual gifts.
Hmm.
I don't know if everybody has developed their spiritual gifts, but I know that they have the latent spiritual gifts.
Yeah.
That does come with responsibility. Do you think everybody has spiritual gifts?
I think everybody has the capability. I think that it's kind of like if you, say for instance, I get a card from one of your buddies that's putting together a birthday party for you, okay? come to Nancy's birthday party. And I'm like, this is cool. Okay, I'm going to go, and I'm going to go to the store, and I'm going to get a gift. And I wrap up that gift, and I come to your house, and I knock on it. Surprise, you know. And you go, Joey, thanks so much for that gift. And you take that gift, and you set it aside. Now, during the time that I'm there at your birthday party, you have all these gifts, and they're all in a corner. And everybody's waiting for you to open it up because they want to see what you got. You say, nah, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it next week. I'll do it later. And believe me, I've seen that. I've gone to birthday parties where people have done that. No, I just want to open it up in my own quiet time when nobody's around. And you're like, oh, that's kind of weird. But you go, okay, that's fine. I believe the same thing with spiritual gifts. I believe that if you walk in the light and if you walk according to the will of God, God gives us spiritual gifts for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
But you choose whether or not you want to open those gifts up. Yeah, you choose whether or not you're in a place to do it. And you hit on a very important thing. You said, you know, there's a lot of responsibility. The Bible says to whom much is given, much is required. So if you are walking in that, you know, there is a responsibility to have with that. You can't just go around and start spouting off your mouth or doing this or that. Now, I believe sometimes God will utilize you with a gift for a certain circumstance. I don't walk around. I'm not like these Bible thumpers or these people that are evangelists and screaming their heads off. That's not my style. But many times, if you know me and you would spend time with me, you would realize that I may operate in a gift and you wouldn't even know it. But I may be, you know, praying for you, or there may be a part of me that is operating in faith and believing for a healing for somebody's life. There may be a time I'm sitting across from you and talking, and I can discern things, I can sense things, I can. Or I may have a vision, or I may see something into the future and relay a message, but it is never to create fear. And I would never say to anybody, God is giving me a message to give to you. I don't believe in that because I believe there is responsibility.
And so what are some of the responsibilities? You know, what kind of responsibility do you feel is that you need to take?
Well, I don't think you can go around saying, like, for instance, there's been doom and gloom preachers or even people that have said the end of the world is coming. You know, look at all these people that put their money on, what was it, the Mayan calendar? Was that it? In 2012, we were all supposed to be gone. The world was supposed to be have come to an end, right?
Those who know just know that it was the end of a calendar cycle.
Right, but there are people that took that literally. There was another person that thought he spoke the word of the Lord, and he came out many, many times, probably three or four times, talking about a time that he thought that the end of the world was going to come. And all these people sold property, their homes. They took their credit cards, and they build up a bunch of stuff, you know, till they, you know, because they thought that they were going to be gone. Yeah, and they're still around.
It is interesting, yeah.
Yeah, and I have a friend that travels who's a well-known singer that travels, and this guy that actually is her kind of driver picks her up at airports and yada, yada, yada. Anytime she goes somewhere far, she was coming back during this time, and she needed a ride from LAX, I believe. And he said, oh, I can't do it. And she said, why is that? And he said, because I'm going to be gone. And she said, well, where are you going? You going on vacation? No, the end of the world. And she said, trust me, it's not going to be the end of the world. And he said, oh, no, it's going to be the end of the world because so-and-so gave this prophetic word. And he said, between this time and that time. And she said, you know, he's done this before, and he's wrong, and he's a false prophet, and it's not going to happen. Well, no,
own intuition as well. I mean, you can have somebody tell you something or listen to the people who are giving that kind of information, but you still have to go into your own gut, into your own meditation, and find out, is this real for me? Is this really what's going on, or is it just a lot of
mumbo-jumbo
hype? Yeah, mumbo-jumbo hype, whatever.
Right.
Is it, feel it in your gut, because I think we all do have an intuition, and we just have to develop it and trust it, to trust
right.
it, too.
Right, right.
And, well, so what do you think the purpose is of having spiritual gifts, and what is the purpose of your spiritual gift?
You know, it's a that's a good question because I've had it from the time I was small. So always to encourage people. You know, sometimes it drains me. I'm going to be honest with you. And there's people out there. I know psychics use the word psychic vampire. I don't. I just feel that there are people that will drain me, you know, of my – they'll drain me of my spirit and my time because all they want are answers. All they want are, you know, it's always self-centered. And another thing is sometimes people really need professional help where they need to speak to somebody that's a counselor, a psychologist, a psychiatrist. Somebody like that, and they go the wrong way. They go into talking to somebody that maybe, quote, a psychic or somebody like that and think that they're going to get their answers that way. No, because they don't have the training that somebody that is a counselor or even a pastor would have. So a lot of times I will, my type of thing might be considered counseling. It might be pastoral in a way. In the way that I talk in my training over the years, but really it's to encourage people and it's to give them a sense or show them. And like I said before, there are many times that I get impressions that I don't quite understand what they are, but the individual understands.
And, you know, the answers, nobody can actually give us answers. I mean, people can tell us things. They can give us advice. They can say, yes, this is the answer. But really the answer comes from inside all of us.
Right.
You know your own answer. And a good guide or a good counselor or a good friend even has the ability to help you draw out your answer. You know, whether it be through brainstorming or just listening to you or provoking you with questions or whatnot. You've got the answer inside.
Right.
And I, we all need to just realize that we don't necessarily have to go to somebody else for our answer. Yes, maybe for the help to pull it out, but and to get clarity. It's always good to talk to somebody just to sort of bump ideas off just so that you can get clarity within yourself.
Right. I think another easy exercise for people, if you have a strong spiritual belief and you do believe what I've been talking about or what Nancy's been talking about, then a good spiritual practice to have is just only in your quiet place, your quiet time at home, to find yourself just maybe seated somewhere or in a prayerful area, however that may look for you. Some people feel comfortable sitting, laying down, praying, whatever the case may be. But you touch your eyes, and I do this a lot of times. I say, God, allow me to see what your spirit would have me see. And I touch my ears and I say, allow me to hear those things that your spirit would have me hear. And then I touch my lips and I say, allow me to speak those things that your spirit would have me speak into people's lives.
That's really beautiful. We can all do that with ourselves, for ourselves and for others. That's great.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that a lot. We have some callers that are in the queue here, and I just wanted to invite anybody who has any questions for Joey. That our number is 347-237-5339. We're not interested in doing psychic readings or that kind of thing tonight, but if you have something to contribute to the conversation or want to ask about spiritual gifts or anything that we've talked about so far or any questions that maybe come up in the topic, we definitely encourage you to call in. So I'd like to take a caller now. Would you like to take a caller, Joey?
Absolutely. And, you know, even if somebody has a question regarding a dream, that would be fine too. And real quick, I wanted to tell you something. Yesterday when I did a show yesterday in my prayerful time, I had seen, this is an impression that I had received, I had seen this couple, like a husband and wife, a young couple with a child, a boy. And it came into my mind a couple of times. I didn't know why. I didn't know what it was about. And I left it out there. And then, so sometimes we get these impressions and we don't know what they're really about until a later time. Does that make sense?
I agree. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I'm ready to take a call.
Okay, so we've got a caller with area code 908. There we go. Caller 908, are you there? I think it's Jimmy,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes. I guess I'm intuitive and I have clear conscience, and I never really knew that, but I guess since my mother, well, my mother, because my mother passed away a long time ago, and I guess, like, that's when I started having these gut feelings and, I guess, visions. And it was like people, it's like being told something, and a couple days later it happens. And I never knew that my angels were right around me all the time, so I started meditating last year to all my angels, including Metatron. And that's when I met, like, my angels. And I think I met my guide, not in a dream, but it was like I went to go lay down this one night, and it felt like I was being picked up. It felt like I was picked up in the air with them. And I remember seeing a palace, and I remember that person being right in front of me telling me he got my back, everything was going to be okay.
And how did that make you feel?
Oh, great. Great, but I know that my energy is off the wall sometimes. But I was told by somebody where my energy is, they told me that I hear a lot of other people's thoughts and that I have to ground myself better.
Okay, so you're are you calling from the East Coast in the United States? Okay. So, you know, yeah, you do have to, you probably do. But the thing is, you probably have a strong gift. You're probably empathetic. You probably sense things, you like what I was talking about, an empath. My sense is that when you're talking to people sometimes, you can feel things, right? You can you can talk about, sometimes maybe even to the point where people will come to you with situations or problems, and you want to help out. But when you have that type of gift, you have to be very well grounded and protected, because you don't want other people's bad, anything that's bad around them or that energy to engulf you. So really good for that. What's your first name again?
Oh, James.
James, what's really good for that is just a prayer of protection. If you believe in angels, you just, you know, you just say, you know, God, just protect me with your ministering and your guiding and your archangel, and encamp about me and surround me with that and protect me, protect my mind, protect my space. Allow me to bless people, but protect me from anything that would try to influence me, harm me, or create any fear. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense, because the thing is that I could literally, I think I could be a good healer, because anytime anybody's upset,
right,
after they're talking to me, like for 5 minutes, 10 minutes,
right,
they forget about their problem and they feel like 100% better.
Yeah, but let me tell you something, James. What happens many times with people like yourself, myself, Nance, anybody that works in these type of, and we believe in miraculous things, or we believe in praying for people, we believe in encouraging. What we have to watch out for, again, is protection. What we have to watch out for is being influenced. Those influences can come out even in drug addiction.
Oh, yeah, you know,
they can come out
funny.
In alcoholism, cigarettes, anything. And I'm not saying that this stuff is going to send you to hell. What I am saying is those are things that try to pacify, or we're trying to escape because things are so intense around us. That's negativity that we don't want. You know what I mean by that?
Yes, so, I know what you mean. I never had a problem with alcohol or drugs,
right?
And I think that because my mother passed away a long time ago, and
right,
I think it was because of her. I did have a problem with cigarettes, with nicotine, but I actually quit, and it's been about 2 months already that I haven't had a cigarette.
Now, see, that's an awesome thing. So, and I know what it's like, because for years I smoked, but it blocks. What happens is, sometimes, and I stopped, oh, I don't know, 16, 17 years ago. But what happens is it blocks your energy. It blocks what you can pick up. It's kind of like somebody that's smoking and they blow smoke and it creates a cloud. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean.
And you know, I've been around people that have claimed that they have gifts. I mean, even people that go, oh, okay, let me pray with you. And they're sitting there smoking, and I'm like, man, you know, get this cigarette out of my face. Get that smoke out of my – you know, if you want to respect me and you want me to come into a different space, then you need to stop doing that. Because I don't think it's – you know, it's just not putting you in a good – It's not putting you in a good frame of mind. You know what I mean? So, but I thank you for calling and especially sharing about that kind of stuff. So I would encourage you to just continue on. And yes, angels are real, and it's good. And, you know, if that's where your gifts are, to reach out and to help people.
Oh, you know, I have to add something. You were saying about dreams.
Yes.
Boy, do I have whoppers. Like, they say everybody dreams every night, but I literally had a dream where God and Jesus were in my dream, and they showed me where I was before I was here. And that was when I woke up, because I remember the entire dream. I was like, wow.
So that's good. If you remember, I would encourage you to do this many times. Sometimes when we're getting messages like that, it's for a purpose. It's for a reason.
Yeah.
But if you keep like a little book by you, sometimes I do that because I'll get dreams and I don't quite understand them, especially if I wake up and I'm walking around and I'm like, okay, well, I remember a little bit about this and a little bit about that, but I don't. If you have like a book right by your bedside, you can jot that down. It's good to do that because then that brings more clarity.
Oh, yeah.
Are you one of these people that once you have a dream, can you ever go back into a dream and pick up where you left off?
Yeah, like I can have a dream. If it's a really good dream, I can have the same dream over and over and over again.
Do you dream in color or in black and white?
I dream in color.
Yeah, that's pretty special. So why don't you get on the internet, try to research that? I think that's a pretty interesting thing when people are able to dream in color. So
maybe I'll go to your show so I could ask, you know, because you're not doing any of psychic questions today, but I'll go to your show if it's on Blog Talk to ask you a question.
Yeah, it's on Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, excellent, Jimmy. Thank you very much for calling in.
Thanks, Jimmy.
And
I appreciate that.
I have some things to add for empathic people, and what that really means is you really pick up feelings and emotions from people, and I'm extremely empathic, and I've had a lot of this. I've had to deal with it. I mean, there would be some times when I was sitting at lunch with my girls at the kitchen table, and you know, we'd be happy and having a great time, then all of a sudden I'd feel like I needed to burst into tears, and I was not protected. The one thing that I've learned about that, well, it hits me in my solar plexus. I need to be strong. Empathic people really need to have emotional strength, spiritual strength. That's really important. And one way to get that is to do yoga or some kind of Tai Chi or something like that. I do yoga, meditation. That helps you become stronger spiritually. It helps you stay clear. And also your diet. Diet is really important for being a strong person, not just physically strong, but emotionally strong as well. And when
right.
I became a blesser, we were not allowed to eat meat. I mean, I hadn't eaten meat for years and years and years, but there's you cut that off. There's no smoking. There's no drinking. There's no meat. There's chicken, because that makes you more of a pure person, so that when you are giving blessings or when you are helping somebody heal, you're clear, you're strong, and it also protects you. So there are some practical things that people can do.
That's awesome.
I like all my meats.
I recommend you knock them off if you really want to.
I'm on a diet anyway, but I'm on a good diet. But I just have to add, I know that I do this angel invocation. Is spelled like E-E-N-U-R-A-Z-E. And I'm supposed to do it. I do it like every day about, it's like you sing it like 7 times each time you do it.
Yeah, mantras are good too. I'd actually like, we've got a couple more callers here. So if you didn't mind, would you mind if I take a few more callers here? Did you have anything you needed to add, James, before
go ahead. Thank you very much.
Thank you for bringing all this up, too. I think it's helped everybody. Okay, so
thank you.
I will take caller from area code 519. So let me just unmute your line there. Are you there, caller?
Yes, I am.
Hi, what's your
name? Hello. Hi, I'm Daniel.
Oh, hi, Daniel. How are you? Do you have a question for Joey?
I have a comment because I really enjoyed Joy's demystifying the mystic part. I have once been caught in that situation where I was talking to somebody who called himself a humanist, and eventually he called me a mystagogue. And we had a good laugh about it, but he made a very good point, slightly different from Joy's, but I like what Joy did too. This fellow said that a puzzle can always be solved, but if you have a mystery, or if you call yourself a mystic, that you're basically functioning in a mist. You don't know what you're doing. This is why I think what you're doing, Joy, is fabulous.
Well, now, tell me your first name again.
Daniel? Yes.
Okay. Are you originally from another country?
Yes.
From?
Hungary.
Okay, from Hungary. So, yeah, I mean, there's really nothing that, you know, there's really nothing that is oogie-boogie about those people that work in that way, and you're absolutely right. But somebody that believes in operates in that gift, it's just that we operate in knowing who the one is that is mysterious, and those beliefs, and there are many parts of what I believe in are mysterious. And if I truly believe in that and I walk in that, then that's part of that nature. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Of course.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. I like the way you think.
All right. Thank you very much. Yeah. Appreciate
it. Thank you, Nancy.
Oh, you're welcome, Dan. Yeah.
Blessings to Dan.
Life is still a mystery, isn't it? I mean, we don't have all the answers to everything.
No, we don't.
And
no, we don't.
Would we want the answers? Would we want all the answers? I mean, it still leaves wonder and curiosity. I mean, those are beautiful, beautiful qualities to have in a person, and excitement about learning something new. I mean, if we knew all the mysteries, we'd know everything. And
right.
Life would be a little bit more dull than it is now. So I have another caller. It's area code 631. You are on the line.
Hello.
Hello, who are we talking to?
Hi, my name is Anne.
Hi, Anne, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
I know we have a short on time. I kind of had one question, but when you were speaking about the dreams, I kind of wanted to ask you about that first, because you said about dreaming in color is rare, and I didn't know that. I mean, I've been dreaming in color all of my life. I've never dreamt not in color.
Yeah. There's really, you can do some readings on that. And if you go on the internet, you can research that. It would be good to research. People are you creative at all?
Yes.
Okay.
Art.
But you know, that's a really neat thing, because that's a blessing in itself. So when you're able to see that and believe that, and the way I believe, you know, what I believe about God and what I believe about the kingdom of God and all those things, I believe that that's in color. I believe that those things are in color, colors that, you know, that we can't even perceive now. Does that make sense to you? So in other words, what I'm saying is, when we go into another realm outside of this natural realm and we step into this other realm, a celestial realm, there are colors that that can't even be duplicated here. So people that have that type of sense and they can see in color, that's truly a gift, you know. But I would just encourage you to find out more about that, people that dream in color and you know, they see things like that. That's really a special type of
I'm
thing.
Also intuitive.
Uh-huh.
As a child, things used to come to me in dreams, and as I became an adult, they came to me in visions. Sometimes I will have visions.
Right.
Speak to anything. I don't have guides. I don't use tools. It's been there
cool.
all my life, and I strongly believe in God.
Yeah.
So,
you understand what I'm talking about, right?
And there are people right away when you talk to them, like other Christians, and they'll say, "Oh, no, that's of the devil." I'm like, "No, I'm not of the devil. I have no devil in me."
Right. Well, you know what? I'm gonna encourage you. We did a program the other night on my show. I'm not trying to, but it's called, you know, Live from the Bay with Joey. We did it, Pagans and Christians. Okay.
Right.
And there was a very famous pagan witch, Italian witch from Salem, Lori Bruno. We had a Christian minister from Salem, Phil Wyman, who pastors a church called The Gathering, and myself. And we talked about these very things that you're talking about. So there are Christians that do believe that anybody that operates in those gifts are of the devil, or it's too weird, or whatever. But you know what? God moves the way he wants to move.
Exactly.
And he doesn't change. And because we operate, many of those people operate out of fear, right? So again, basically what the Bible says about that is God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So I would say to you, be encouraged and know that God gives every good and perfect gift is from above, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes those people that are telling us those type of things are not of God themselves. Or they're, because, you know, when you sit there and you say, oh, no, God doesn't work that way,
exactly.
You know, God doesn't work that way. I'm going to tell you something. We were talking a little while ago about doom and gloom. This
yeah.
gentleman who was a Christian fundamentalist teacher who predicted the end of the world a few times, I had the honor, I guess, if so to speak, to speak with him years and years ago. And he basically told me, no, God does not, people don't have miraculous powers anymore. All that kind of stuff has ended. The Bible says that that which is perfect has come, that which is imperfect shall be done away with. So I said to him, I said, well, what is that which is perfect to you? And he's like, the Bible. And I said, well, if you really look at that scripture, that's not what it's really talking about. What it's talking about is when Christ returns, we're not going to need all that kind of stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, he didn't want to hear it. And he's like, no, it says where there's tongues, it shall cease. I said, it also says where there is knowledge, that shall be done away with. So you're telling me we don't need knowledge today?
Right.
And he's like, okay, thank you for calling, caller. And then I was gone, okay? The interesting thing is years later, he's predicting things like the end of the world. I mean, come on. I mean, you know, in biblical times, if you believe that, a false prophet would have been stoned.
Right.
And he's going beyond what I was talking about. He's going into predicting when God is going to, you know, when what we believe is God and the return of Christ is going to come back. And he's
right.
predicting this. I'm like, whoa, that's just totally off the wall.
Yes, it is. I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, you do know who I'm talking about. And you know, the thing is that somebody like that is, it's scary because they only want to, they're only comfortable talking about those things that they're comfortable talking about. So those people that have said those things to you, because it's out of ignorance, it's out of fear. And a lot of times fear and ignorance breed
yes.
those type of comments. But you know what? You know what is right, and you know what God has shown you, and you know that what gifts that you do possess. So I would encourage you in that, and to really not listen to any. Sometimes people just talk to talk, and they don't quite understand things, and then they feel like only God moves in a certain way, and if it's not this way, then it's got to be wrong,
mm-hmm.
and that's not the way it is, you know.
That's right. My answer to one person who said that to me was, well, you know what? They said that to Jesus, too, that he was doing those works by the works of the devil. So
absolutely. Absolutely. And in fact, I was just reading this thing that this Jewish rabbi, now hear what I'm saying. I love Jewish people, okay? And they've suffered a lot throughout history. But this rabbi was talking about why they don't believe in Jesus Christ, all this kind of stuff. And he basically said, which I found really interesting, he said, we believe that the Messiah would be born of a human mother and a father and not be impregnated by, you know, like to a virgin and have some kind of celestial, you know, demigod being, which is a pagan belief. So I kind of had to laugh under my breath because I thought to myself, you know, many times, you know, you have these Christians saying, what we believe is, you know, and anybody else that believes otherwise is of the devil and is pagan and is this and that, when they themselves could be classified and their belief system as pagan as well to
right.
others.
Mm, depends on your point of view.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So things that we don't understand, we always like to box in and put it, oh, no, you know. And what you said is very true. That they said that about Jesus, you know. And interesting enough, the other night when we were doing our show, there was this really nice pagan woman that's actually a pagan minister. She said something very interesting. And again, we should have ears to hear what these people what these people say. She said, anybody that doesn't believe that Jesus Christ performed miracles or that he was, you know, deity and he walked and he is a fool. Now, understand, that was pretty unbelievable and awesome to me because, you know what, who knows? I mean, somebody could say, yeah, but God doesn't speak to pagans and God only speaks this way. You know what, God speaks to however he wants. And you know what, people's paths are not going to be exactly the same.
Right.
And God will put us through different things to bring himself to us. And you know what? He'll bring us to him. And you know what? And the point is that he doesn't have to be sold, you know?
That's right.
You know, we can just, we you can't sit there and say, oh, I'm going to sell my beliefs in God and Jesus and stuff. That's a bunch of baloney, you know? That's not the gospel. So if you walk in love, that's what it's all about. And God works with people the way he wants to work with them, when he wants. And ultimately, the final work will be done in their lives. So that's my belief. I don't know, but that's my 5 cents. So.
If God could use a burning bush or a donkey to speak to you, he could use anything or anybody.
Absolutely, absolutely. So that's a very good point. So
that's great. Thank you very much, Andy.
Oh, it was a pleasure talking to you, yeah.
You can
did you have both questions answered?
Actually, I did. You can actually even beyond that confirm some things for me that were kind of on my heart.
Oh,
so
good.
That was great. Yeah.
Good.
Cool. Good. Thank you very much for calling in and contributing to our show. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Thank you.
And you said something that I want to actually touch on again, Joey, about the connotation of words, really, and how people assume something about something that they know nothing of, and then they think of it in a totally different way, like psychics and Christian mystics and clairvoyant people and empathic people. When they don't know what it means, they make up stuff in their head, and it's not necessarily good stuff, it's not necessarily bad stuff, but things get made up. Did you want to just briefly talk about that?
Okay, yeah. Well, I would just say, you know, again, people should really, you know, the important thing is understanding things and understanding where people are coming from. And if you don't really understand and it's born out of fear, then that's okay. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. That's okay. But what's not okay is when you start to make people feel uncomfortable or you demonize people because you don't understand something. I've learned in my life that sometimes things are not as black and white as we may think they are, and we need to accept people and understand that where people are at is not exactly the same place that we're at, and maybe their path may take longer or maybe it's been accelerated beyond what your path is. It doesn't give us a right to speak death or words that destroy into people's life. God created the world, and he created it, and words are powerful. Words can either create or destroy.
And it's about making judgments, too. There's no reason, no need to make judgments. Judgments actually hurt us more than they hurt the people that we're judging. I had a person recently tell me, don't say the words Ayurveda or guru or chakras. And I said, why? He said, well, it absolutely turns people off. Nobody has any idea what you're talking about. And it's from another country. And I'm thinking, okay, well, why don't you ask then? What does it mean? You know, even though I knew this person knew what it meant, because usually when I say those words, I explain just a little bit more about it. And I don't need to dummy down. I would prefer that people evolve and learn, and I'm willing to explain things to people. And just like the word psychic, well, what does that mean, psychic? If it came with a negative connotation, maybe it's time to clear that up so that we don't have any negativity in our own lives, because having a judgment about something is really a negativity in our own life.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
right.
I'll give you a silly little example, but when my girls were young and I'd have them doing their housework or cleaning up their stuff, you know, I'd say, okay, you know, it's time to clean up. And they'd go clean things up. And then I'd go check because I wasn't going to let them, you know, do a sloppy job. And I'd go back and check. And they did all the big things. You know, they'd put their toys away or their books away or whatever. And then there was all the little things that had no home. So I said, okay, now it's time to clean up all the little ditties. And I don't know if ditties was a word. I liked it. I don't think it's in the dictionary, but I used it.
Right.
And they tell me now, we hate it when you say the word ditty. You know, so, I mean, it meant nothing. But to them, they made it mean something. And they made it mean something negative because basically they didn't know what to do with those little things that had no home, which I called ditties. So we can put negative connotations into anything, but, I mean, they brought it all the way into their adult life.
Adulthood.
So now they hate the word ditty, but ditty means nothing. It really doesn't.
Right, and it means nothing to you, but it does mean something to them because it came with some other connotation. It came with some other meaning, and I think that that's really important. I did a show recently called, which I think it was, basically it was talking about the power of words. Basically, what you say and what you see is what you get, and I think that we have to understand that. You know, words can either encourage people or discourage people.
Yeah.
Create or destroy.
And that's part about the responsibility. I feel it's my responsibility to lift people to a higher level. I mean, if I can help people become happier, freer in their life, more loving, more healthy, well, then that's the aim that I'm going for. It just comes with knowing things, knowing what to eat, what not to eat, what to, you know, not necessarily what to say, but what the negative effects of things, the positive effects of things. So if I can help uplift somebody, that's my responsibility rather than to put them down. So all the gifts, all the knowledge we have, the education, the wisdom, it all comes with a responsibility. And the responsibility is to make life more beautiful for everybody and more loving.
Right. And you know what? That last word is really important because we can have all those gifts, but if we have not love, we're nothing.
That's right. I think that's a great place to end our discussion tonight, unless you have something else you wanted to add, but ending it on love sounds perfect to me.
That's it. It's been a pleasure.
This has been really a dynamic show tonight. I really loved having you on it. You're a great guest, and I love, thank you to all the callers who came. They had great questions, to contribute. I really appreciate everything that they shared with us and opening up and telling us their own stories. Excellent. This has been dynamic.
Thank you. It's been
and if anybody
pleasure.
Wants to reach Joey, they can reach him at Live from the Bay with Joey.
There we go. So be blessed, and thanks again for having me.
Thank you very much. And thank you to all the callers and all our listeners. Have a great night.
Folks, thanks so much for listening today. And I want to thank Nancy again for having me on her show. Again, the network of her show is Greater Good Ministries Radio. You can contact Nancy Murdoch at MasteringTheHeartOfJoyfulness.com, NancyMurdoch.com. Again, on Blog Talk Radio, all you need to do is type in her name, Nancy Murdoch, MURDOCH, and the actual network on Blog Talk Radio for her program is Greater Good Ministries Radio. So I'm sure that you'll want to get on there. Be sure you say hello to her. Let her know how much you enjoyed her program. And she's got some great guests. Again, thank you so much for joining us. On behalf of myself and Jamin, we thank you again. We look forward to having you listen in next week, all right? So, this is Joey with Live from the Bay with Joey. Take care.
Thanks for joining us on Live from the Bay with Joey.